The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essan.
And Dorian Ampofu.
In the headlines, President Mahama advocates new policy to separate sports development function of National Sports Authority for management of facilities. Speaker of Parliament stresses need for African parliaments and politicians to make welfare of citizens paramount for effective governance. Police arrest and detain Ashanti Regional MPP Chairman in Kibusiako for allegedly assaulting MP from Enchia North. Vice Chancellor of Central University calls for flexibility in senior high school policy to suit peculiar circumstances of students. And Israeli court jails for life a Jewish ringleader who kidnapped and burnt alive a Palestinian teenager. The news in detail. President John Dramani Mahama has requested the Minister of Youth and Sports to bring for cabinet approval a new policy that will separate the sports development function of the National Sports Authority from the facility management. He said this when he inaugurated the $35 million multi-purpose Cape Coast Stadium in the Central Region. The 15,000 capacity facility has been named after former President John Evans Atta Mills. It has a fully furnished 21 hostel accommodation, separate halls for table tennis and boxing, 2 basketball courts, 1 handball court, and 1 tennis court, and tartan tracks for athletics.
I requested the Honorable Minister of Sports to bring for cabinet approval a new policy that will separate the sports development function of the National Sports Authority from the facility management function of the authority. A separate facility manager will ensure that our sports facilities are managed efficiently and are well maintained. I want to return here in 5 to 10 years and find this stadium almost as new as we are commissioning it today. Government has decided that each region of this country must have a world-class stadium to help the development of the talents of our youth and provide appropriate training facilities. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to declare the new Cape Coast Stadium formally open for sporting activities.
President Mahama, the Chinese government which funded the stadium will refurbish the facility after 5 years. In 2012, a memorandum of understanding was signed between Ghana and China for the construction of the new Cape Coast Stadium.
The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Dua Jaho, says the greatest threat to democratic governance in Africa will be the failure of the legislature and political class to respond to the needs of the people. He cited the attempt by the then government of Burkina Faso to amend the constitution for an extension of the term of Blaise Compaoré and the persistence of the National Assembly to uphold the tenets of the constitution as a good sign for democracy. Mr. Jaho stated this when he opened the Professional Development Conference for the Society of Clerks at the Table, SOCAT, Africa region of the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association in Accra. He underscored the need for the political class to always uphold the interests of the people in their efforts to develop their countries. We bring you more in this report by our correspondents Dominic Lodge and Augustus Akui.
The Professional Development Conference for the Society of Clerks at the Table, SOCAT, Africa region, was organized to sharpen the skills and enhance the capacity of members to ensure quality delivery for the growth of parliamentary democracy on the continent. Opening it, the Speaker of Parliament, Edward Dua Jaho, said the public expects them as parliamentary administrators to come up with innovative ways of responding to the interests and concerns of the public. Thus, he noted, is essential if democracies on the continent are to stand the test of time.
The greatest threat to our democratic experiment will be the failure of the legislature and the political class to respond to the needs of this new breed of public and this society in general. The public is therefore expectant that you will, as parliamentary administrators, propose innovative ways of responding to the interests and concerns of the public. This is essential if our respective democracies must stand the test of time. The recent experience in Burkina Faso, in which despite public outcry, the National Assembly persisted in considering an amendment to the Constitution to make the incumbent president eligible for an extension of his term, resulting in the storming of the legislative buildings by the Irish citizenry and the penning down of the facility. should be a constant reminder and warning post to us that the public interest should be the reason for our existence.
The speaker also spoke about the need for the continent to work towards the attainment of the Sustainable Development Goal SDGs. He announced that the Parliament of Ghana will soon establish a committee on sustainable development goals to facilitate the implementation of the ideals of the goals.
It is a response to societal needs that world leaders, both at the United Nations and as well as African Union, came up with the Sustainable Development Goals, the SDG, and the Africa Agenda 2063 to ensure a balanced, equitable and sustained development of the countries in the world. I can affirm that the Ghana Parliament will soon initiate the necessary processes for establishing a parliamentary committee on SDGs.
The chairperson of SOCAT Africa Region, Modibe Difindela, said a well-informed clerks at the table reflects on the performance of the legislative body, hence the need for constant capacity building to ensure excellence delivery.
It is only a well-informed administration that can support members in the performance of these constitutional obligations. A series of seminars and other capacity building programs provided for in our strategic plan is our conscious contribution towards ensuring that parliamentary administration is empowered to support members in finding African solutions to African problems.
The chairperson of the Society of Clerks at the Table, SOCAT Africa Region, Modibe Difindela, and in that report by parliamentary correspondents Dominic Nogi and Augustus Akwi.
The chairman of the Western Region Peace Council, the Reverend John Ernest Kofi, has advised the media not to whip up ethnic sentiments ahead of this year's elections. Political parties must also refrain from pronouncements that have ethnic undertones. Reverend Kofi gave the advice when he addressed the Sekendi Takrade Metropolitan Assembly. He said the council is mandated to undertake sensitization programs and offer advice to the Regional Coordinating Council and the Regional Security Council in relation to conflict prevention, management, resolution, and to build sustainable peace within the region. Reverend Kofi said the council will dialogue with all political parties to appeal to them to engage in issue-based and violent-free campaign and the media to ensure free, fair and balanced reportage.
The ACG has been opened up for private sector participation as part of strategies to restructure the company to ensure its viability. Radio Ghana has been finding out the thoughts of some economists and energy experts. First, an economist and head of finance, University of Ghana Business School, Dr. Godfred Popping, who says the injection of private sector participation into the management of ECG is not the panacea. According to him, the problem with ECG is not only inefficiency, but also government interference, particularly concessions to public institutions.
This arrangement doesn't meet all the requirements of fair privatization, as in the Ghanaians losing control of the company. It's a bit of a variation. As to whether it's the way to go, we give ourselves up. As a people, we have not demonstrated, especially with state-owned institutions, that are capable of managing those institutions as efficient as a private sector could do, even though certain businesses have also collapsed in the private sector. So the fear of bringing in private sector participation in itself is not the panacea entirely. It's not the solution entirely because businesses also collapse at the capital level. And then when you look at ECG, a company that produces an item that doesn't have strategy, that company should not make a loss because there is market for it. I mean, you cannot do without the product or the services that they provide in terms of electricity or power. So why shouldn't they do well? In my understanding, ECG should be able to declare huge dividends to Ghana government. They were efficient. The problem with ECG is efficiency. And you can look at it from different angles. The role of government itself has to be investigated. Okay, for instance, if you look at the way the board of ECG is constituted and their mandate and all of that, really, it may not satisfy all the requirements of best corporate governance practices. That is an issue. You also want to look at it that because government retains control of the board, it's very difficult for ECG actually doing the right things when it comes to its engagement with government government and then quasi-government agencies. These are the issues. If we could resolve all these issues, I want to believe that we wouldn't need private sector participation in the downstream in terms of dealing with customers and then revenue collection, which has been a problem with ECD. When you put all these things together, we realize that we have not managed our affairs in a way that suggests that we could do without private sector participation. Because we are talking about the sustainability of the sector. If we continue in this way, then it means that we are just heading in the wrong direction. And of what good is running when we are headed in the wrong direction? That is why it's very difficult to say that this new arrangement should be put on hold totally. But I will give you a good account of ourselves that when we are in charge along all the value chain, we are able to deliver with Ghana in mind? No, we have not. That is why it's very difficult.
So do you subscribe to the privatization or not? And what should be the way forward?
In the current form, it does not constitute total privatization in terms of we losing ownership completely to foreigners. I don't know who will get it. People have submitted bids. If you look at the bids that we have received, it tells you that ECG probably is the most lucrative company in Ghana that we should be able to preserve. If we want to go along the line of privatization, let's do it through the Ghana Stock Exchange, so that Ghanaians will own it. Then we change management and change the board. Let's take government out of it. Probably we will do well. But telling it or something, I do not subscribe to that.
Another lecturer and economist at the University of Cape Coast, Dr. John Gatti, believes privatization is necessary to change the fortunes of ECG, but was quick to add that the form of private sector involvement is what should be looked at. He asks Ghanaians to have a change of mind over private sector participation.
I think it is very clear to all of us that we have gotten to a point where we need private participation in the delivery of utilities in this country. As to how we approach it depends on the psyche and the orientation of the managers of the economy. We can privatize using domestic or indigenous private entities to participate in the process. You can also bring foreigners to participate in the process, depending on whether there is some available entities within the country who can efficiently participate in the process, or if they don't, you may look at outside, and or you can also determine based on your procurement law whether you should open it to international bidding, for which that possibility of bringing foreigners become paramount. And we also need to get away from the former thinking about privatization in this country, where we think that when we come to areas such as utilities, they are so sensitive that we don't need private people to operate it. But virtually everything that has got to do with sensitive living of Ghanaians are actually produced by private people. If it is sparkling water, mineral water, the food we eat on a daily basis, the food that are served at public functions, wherever, the hospitality sector, all those things are provided by private entities, and we are healed. All that we need is to have a regulator that has its eye on these private entities to do things in the interest of the public. So for me, I think private participation is key in ensuring efficiency and delivering value to the people of Ghana.
Already we have a high price to pay for consuming electricity. I agree that we need to pay the value for what we consume. Look at the stage now, let alone bringing in the expatriate. Will they not come to repeat the same thing that we experience in the water sector?
That's why I say it depends on the arrangement put in place, whether the current arrangement has actually taken lessons from what happened in the water sector in the past. If that is done, then we may receive a better service than you. And it should also be very clear to us what actually they are going to do within the limited privatized activities they want to do. What kind of investment are they bringing? Are those investment things that are actually needed, or is only that they are coming to take control and use the whole system to deliver? Those things ought to be very clear to us.
Dr. John Gatti on the form of private sector participation in ECG.
Meanwhile, an energy expert, Kwame Janjua, has described the private sector arrangement for ECG as a backdoor policy. He told Radio Ghana that what ECG needs now is efficient management and personnel. Mr. Janjua asked government not to relinquish its responsibility to ECG.
Well, they have said they are bringing in private participation on the management side, and that private participation is going to bring in a certain amount of money. I think it's about $400 million or something like that for a certain duration of time, 25 years. Now, for me, that is backdoor privatization. How can you give a company that length of time to manage your primary distributor of energy in your country for that duration of time. Definitely, they would want to take back, they would want to take money out of the system, because most of the money they'll be getting is repatriated. And so where lies your local expertise who can handle it? I believe that if they're even thinking of privatizing ECG, they should give it to Ghanaian companies so that for nothing at all, the money stays in this country. And we have the expertise. It's not that we don't have the expertise. We do have the expertise. And we should just shape up, you know, shape up and make sure that all those in ECG who aren't doing what they're supposed to, we function them or we fire them till we get the right people to run ECG.
So for you, it is not necessary to privatize ECG?
I don't think so. I think, you know, government is relinquishing itself because of the financial part of it. And you see, I keep saying, it's not only money that makes a company work. Not only money. It is planning, it is strategy, it is management. Money comes last. When you've got all these in place, you can effectively use whatever small money you have to run a company. Your cost is most important. Look, ECG, we've left ECG for its equipment to go to rust for so long the time. What were we doing then? What was the maintenance plan we had? We had nothing like that. And if a foreign company comes in and takes over ECG and they find it lucrative enough, you think they'll give up? Look at what has happened to Ghana Telecom. Where is Ghana Telecom to be? Is Vodafone giving us the kind of service that Ghanaians are looking for? It's in foreign hands. How can Ghanaians talk? Those strategic institutions that are Ghanaian, main Ghanaian, and we should find a better way of managing them.
I heard energy expert Kwame Jantua on the privatization of ECG.
Members of the Ghana Mine Workers Union have urged government to use the AngloGold Ashanti concession released recently to the state to refund the economies of local communities, especially Obuasi. A statement signed by the General Secretary of the Union, Prince William Ankwa, asked government to be firm, fair and transparent as it prepares to invite investors to develop the concession. The union believes the ultimate goal of attracting potential investors into the concession is to ensure economic activities for sustained growth in the beneficiary communities. It urged government to prioritize capacity building for small-scale miners to enable them to become captains of the mining industry in future. The union warned against activities of illegal miners in the concessions in order not to undermine investor confidence in the mining sector.
Ghana saved $77,300,000 in revenue for the period December 2014 to April this year. The accrued revenue was due to efforts by the task force to quash activities of sandbox fraudsters in the country. 20 people were arrested during the 17-month operational period. These observations were made by the Director General of the CID of the Ghana Police Service, COP Prosper Abulo, at a media briefing in Accra. We bring you more.
The Director General of the Criminal Investigations Department, CID, of the Ghana Police Service, COP Prosper Abulo, said the CID will pursue cyber robbers and apprehend them in accordance with the laws of the country. To this end, the task force in charge of fighting SIM box fraudsters has intensified the crackdown on the crime since the beginning of the year. This was after successful interceptions in 2014 and 2015, which resulted in the saving of millions of dollars in revenue to the country. COP Agblo said the collaborative efforts of the task force and Suba Info Solutions Ghana has seen the prosecution and subsequent sentence of Singbox fraudsters over the past 5 years. He said intelligence gathered revealed that the Singbox fraudsters use sophisticated equipment to evade detection. The task force will thus not relent on its efforts to use advanced technology and legitimate methods to thwart their economic sabotage activities. COP Agblo called for a more collaborative effort at fighting Singbox fraud.
Now the news desk reports. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The media stories. President Mahama advocates new policy to separate sports development function of National Sports Authority from management of facilities. Speaker of Parliament stresses need for African parliaments and politicians to make welfare of citizens paramount for effective governance. Police arrest and detain Ashanti Regional MPP Chairman Njuguo Siako for allegedly assaulting MP from Enchia North. Vice Chancellor of Central University calls for flexibility in senior high school policy to suit peculiar circumstances of students. and Israeli court deals for life a Jewish ringleader who kidnapped and burnt alive a Palestinian teenager. Do stay tuned.
Welcome back. The Ashanti Regional Police Command has arrested and detained the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the MPP in Chibuye Siakum for allegedly assaulting the MP from Asia North, calling Sowuso Amankwa. The chairman was invited by the police 2 days ago, but failed to report himself. Another went to the police yesterday and was detained subsequently. Hundreds of MPP supporters, including MPs from opposition parties, were at the Central Police Station demanding the release or bail for the chairman, which resulted in huge military and police presence at the premises of the Central Police Station to help maintain law and order. Meanwhile, the Ashanti Regional Security Committee, RECSEC, has been assessing the security situation following reported pockets of violence at some registration centers in the ongoing limited voter registration in the region. Some suspects believed to be political party sympathizers arrested in connection with the violence have been granted police inquiry bail.
The Vice Chancellor of Central University, Professor Kwesi Yanka, is recommending flexibility in the senior high school policy where choices in duration are exercised to suit peculiar circumstances of the students. He said that one size fits all for the duration to be spent in SHS only promotes inequity. Speaking at a lecture organized by the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences in Accra, Professor Yanka said research has proven that whereas the three-year duration in better endowed schools is adequate for the students to do well, the same cannot be said for the less endowed schools. He said the swing in the SHS policy must stop with immediate effect and flexible policies chosen to meet individual and institutional needs. Here's a report by Antoinette Abba.
Professor Kwesi Yanka noted that since the introduction of the WASI in 2006 to 2015, trends show that the results in 2011 and 2012, which practiced the four-year policy, were better in all four core and elective subjects as compared to those of 2006 to 2009 and 2013 to 2015. He said the failures recorded, that is those who got F9 in the core subjects being English, Mathematics, Integrated Science and Social Studies, decreased in 2011 and 2012, while it increased in the three-year policy duration.
The percentage of failures from 2006 to 2009 went between 23.21% and 37.07% during the WASI for the 3 years. When the policy was 24 years, the percentage of failures dropped to between 6.7% and 12.7%, surging again to 54.1% in 2014 and 51.80% in 2016.
Examination malpractices, which characterize examinations, were also significantly low during the 2011 and 2012 period.
Exam malpractice is largely a product of inadequate preparation for exams. Compare candidates and accomplices to do everything possible to ensure that some candidates get an unfair advantage in violence. The propensity to cheat has been higher among the three-year cohorts and dropped consistently over the period when the four-year cohort sat the exams. I have highlighted the issue of exam malpractice here, not just to point out correlation between anxiety, stress, and malpractice, but also to indicate how major social evils of corruption, dishonesty, and the lack of academic integrity could be fueled simply by public policy.
According to Professor Yanka, the trends and data collected from 2013 to 2015 indicate that though the four-year policy may be expensive, it allows time to address deficiencies in deprived students. Students from endowed schools are also doing better within the three-year policy. He said there must therefore be flexibility for individuals and institutions, as this will bring equity.
The recommendation in this department is for a three-year, four-year flexible senior high school policy where choices in duration are exercised to suit various circumstances. Here, a four-year SHS would ensure that the first year is fundamentally revisionary or top-up in content. The first year will be preparatory and subscribed by students and schools that are more disadvantaged, coming from less privileged schools. High flyers performing very well at DHS or BEC need not do a full 4-year SHS.
Professor Yanka said The computerized school placement system and other factors reduced the contact hours in the three-year policy to 2 years and a few months, hence crippling the hands of the teachers who adopt unconventional methods of teaching to the disadvantage of the students. A retired Supreme Court judge and fellow of the Academy, Justice Professor Dateba, said the data provided by Professor Yanka should be analyzed by policymakers to give students the best and reduce the high failure rates. He said the contact hours must also be looked at, as it is unfair to assess students from deprived schools alongside well-endowed schools.
Antoinette Abba filed that report.
The Supreme Court has adjourned ruling to the 19th of this month an application filed by counsel for Dr. Zanetto Rawlings, Gordon Tamaklo, to quash a ruling by a high court. Mr. Tamaklo is challenging the high court's capacity to interpret a section of the constitution in its ruling on an application he filed to dismiss a suit against Dr. Zanetto Rawlings. According to him, the High Court lacks jurisdiction to interpret Article 94, Subsection 1, Clause A, in a suit brought by the MP for Clotikoli, Ni Amasite, challenging the eligibility of Dr. Zanetto Rawlings to contest a parliamentary seat in that constituency. Mr. Tamaklo argued that the High Court judge wrongly assumes jurisdiction and is therefore praying the Supreme Court to quash that decision, adding that only the highest court of the land is vested with power to interpret constitutional matters. Counsel for Ni Amasite Gary Numako contended that at the time Dr. Zanetto contested the primaries, she was not a registered voter and therefore her candidature should be annulled, claiming that it is a violation of the constitution.
Meanwhile, the Supreme Court has refused to admit into evidence a recording submitted by lawyer for Abu Ramadan, who is challenging the credibility of the voters' register. The lawyer, Nanes Antibedi Otuo, wanted to tender into evidence a recording in which the Electoral Commission purportedly admitted that it had no means to ascertain what type of national identification a voter used in registering. Nanes Antibedi Otuo believed this new evidence could have supported their case, but the Supreme Court dismissed it, saying it had already fixed next Thursday for judgment on the suit. Counsel for the EC, Thaddeus Sori, told the court in response to a question that it can use a manual process to determine the percentage of voters who used the national identification cards for registration. Nanes Antibedi Otuo said what the commission told the court contradicts information they received from the EC during a meeting they had on the advice of the court.
An Israeli court has handed down a life sentence to the ringleader of a Jewish gang who kidnapped, beat and burned alive a Palestinian teenager in 2014. Yosef Haim Ben David, 31, was sentenced for killing 16-year-old Mohammed Abu Qaeda and was also given 20 years for other crimes. The victim was kidnapped by Ben David and two young accomplices from Israeli annexed East Jerusalem. His burnt body was found hours later in a forest in the western part of the city. So the news, the main points again. President John Dramani Mahama has requested the Minister of Sports to bring for cabinet approval a new policy that will separate the sports development function of the National Sports Authority from the facility management. The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Dua Jahu, says the legislature in Africa and the political class must respond to the needs of their people. Mr. Jahu stated this when he opened the Professional Development Conference for the Society of Clerks at the Table, SOCAT, Africa region of the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association in Accra. And an Israeli court has handed down a life sentence to the ringleader of a Jewish gang who kidnapped, beat and burned alive a Palestinian teenager in 2014. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofo
and Samuel Essa in Accra.
Thank you, Nick, and the rest are all the same.